Oh, hi, everybody. Welcome to the Roseanne Barr podcast. I'm so excited today because I went to Joe Rogan's doctor and I got these stem cells, and it really did help my knees and my elbows. Then I did a full panel of all my, ins and outs on my blood panel, and it came back. She says, you never sleep at all. I go, no shit, I never sleep. She goes, well, you know what? Because you're low on the testosterone, and if you'll take testosterone, I promise you, you're going to get a lot more energy, and during the day, you won't be so tired. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going to take testosterone because I know right away my IQ will decrease by half, and I'll start peeing on toilet seats for no reason whatsoever. Oh, you see, my patience is growing. I did do it, and you know, by God, I did sleep better. I've been sleeping so good and having good energy through the day, and my thoughts are not quite as jumbled as they were back when I was a woman, or whatever you call it. But since I started taking the male hormones, I start thinking more clearly and less emotionally. I swear to God.
Yeah, it's called pragmatism.
I got more pragmatic.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? They tested your testosterone, because what about the beard?
Well, that's, they said, is because of estrogen, which they also want me to take. But I'm afraid of estrogen because they said, but you know what? It'll bring back your libido. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to fuck with that. I just barely got over that and started living a good, clean, decent life. Anyways, I like being more of a man. And I started thinking, I'm going to shoot something, you know. So I did. I shot a 6-point buck axis deer and turned him into sausage. And I'm so excited to talk about hormones, man, woman stuff with somebody who I love so much because she is a big ass bitch. And I love her, Blair White. Hi, Blair.
Hi, how are you? I'm so glad to be here. Have your sausage. And you also, for context, I have my sunglasses on because you got me drunk before we started this.
That's how we do it here.
Those sunglasses are to die for.
I know. They're Louis Vuitton, you know, just a little. Had to bring it to Roseanne's house.
You like Rihanna and ASAP Rocky if you like Louis Vuitton, am I right?
I don't know. I'm not so tuned in with like a lot of mainstream pop culture stuff, really.
Well, my mother has a crush on ASAP Rocky.
Do you really?
I do, because he reminds me of Joe Ben Chacon, my neighbor. The first male I saw naked from the pants up in the street with a real male body. And I looked at him out the window and I about shit myself because I says, where's his big ass beard gut and all that hair all over him? What's wrong with him?
This is not the story I was expecting at all. I didn't know where that was going the entire time you went through it.
He was gorgeous, but I thought, I knew I liked boys right then, but right. I thought something was wrong with him because he was an Adonis and not a diabetic old bitter Jew. It was amazing.
But you know, I'm not attracted to like men who are perfect like that. Like, I don't like Adonis types. I don't like men who look too pretty or too chiseled, anything like that. I like imperfections.
Well, I didn't think there was ever a prayer that I was going to get him, you know, unless I kidnapped him and tied him up like that other Mormon girl in our hometown. She did that, you know. Cross my mind.
Well, you should probably slide into ASAP Rocky's DMs because you're famous, so he'll see it.
I already did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Was there a response?
No.
Of course not.
Not at all.
That sucks.
I'm like, you know, if you're ever tired of...
Let's try it again, Mom. Let's try it now.
I just want to
try the sausage.
Try the sausage.
Yeah, okay. No.
I killed it myself.
How long has it been dead?
It's been 2 months.
We've had these frozen for 2 months. They're safe.
I believe it.
It's frozen.
Do you want to do a call to ASAP Rocky with the sausage?
Oh, it's actually
on camera?
So good.
No, I just want them not to come after him and Rihanna because I don't want them to harass them like they did with me and my husband's to break us up. Because that's what they want to break them up. You know, leave them to their own business.
That's why
Let them be happy.
That's why I'm very private with like my relationships and stuff. Because once it's in the public feels like they own it, right? So there's just a lot of bullshit that comes with it. There's really no gain to being super public about relationships. I used to flaunt it all the time. But the older I get and the more into living this life I live now, it's like not a good idea. Unless you're with ASAP Rocky, you should want that.
How good's that?
It's actually so
good. What do you think?
I'm obsessed, and you know what? I need it because I had not eaten all day when you gave me the multiple margaritas. But it feels good, so.
Ain't it good, though?
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. My granddaughter loves it. She calls it the steak. She goes, I want more of the steak.
All I know is you're creating very quality content because you have a tranny eating a sausage on your show right now. And I'm going to assume that's a first. I don't think you've done that before, so try new things.
How's that word make you feel?
Tranny. The word tranny?
Yeah, because I always forget. Oh, yeah. Because I'm like, it's just, I'm like, here's this brilliant thinker who thinks deeply about things. And,
oh, thank you.
You know what I mean? But I know you, but.
That's like a big compliment from you because I consider you obviously a deep thinker as well. Like, I feel like the hour that we just spent outside drinking these margaritas was like a whole podcast in itself. We should have been filming that, but. I know we should have. Yeah, that was the good shit. But we tried to save a lot for here, but.
Yeah.
How does the word tranny make me feel? It doesn't make you feel really any type of way. You know, I say it a lot. And I feel like even if someone were to say it in like a negative way to me, it'd be more so funny. Like, really? That's the insult? Like, I don't know. I would do something worse, like call someone a piece of shit or an asshole or, you know.
Yeah.
Tranny is just like a funny word to me.
Yeah.
But I think that the modern trans movement is all about policing language, and that's why I have such a big problem with it. And that's mm-hmm. why I'm kind of known as like the black sheep trans person where I'm always critiquing that shit because it's crazy. The shit that's happening now. I mean, it wasn't even happening when I started transitioning. This is a new kind of thing. So.
When did you start transitioning?
I was 20 and I'm 29 now. So.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it wasn't back then like it is now. You know, there wasn't all these non-binary people. There wasn't the like cultural and political like push that there is now. In fact, it was relatively under the radar. Like people kind of inherently knew it was a thing, like, oh mm-hmm. yeah, some people do that, but now it's so in your face all the time and it's become like a main cultural football, which is so crazy to me.
Do you feel put at risk by all that shit?
What shit? Like the fact that it's so focused on,
you know, that trans activism, which is pissing everybody off.
Oh yeah, I say this all the time. I see that as way more of a threat than someone who maybe just doesn't understand the fact that I'm trans and maybe is predisposed to disliking me for it, because those people can always be swayed once they understand that I'm a normal person and I'm kind and all those good things. Whereas the way leftists deal with it, they don't talk about that shit because they care about trans people. They talk about it because they can use it to their benefit. Right. You know, in fact,
because there were always trans women in the bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they acted, you know, they didn't stand there with their, you know, dicks and stuff, you know.
Right.
They just went to the bathroom, washed their hands and left.
Right. That's
why. The good old days.
The good old days. That's why I always say, like, if it was really a problem with real transsexuals, then it would have always been a problem. But it, like, wasn't, you know.
Right.
It's this new thing because we're in this culture now where if someone says they are something, then they just are. So a lot of women will look at that and be like, oh, all these trans people are saying they're women, so I have to believe them. That's fucked up. And I, on another level, look at like all the trans people who say that just because they're trans, I have to believe them, because I look at them up and down and I'm like, you're actually a fetishist. You're actually a predator. You're actually a crossdresser. And that's very different than a transsexual. And there was once a time where that was understood even among transsexuals. We were like, there's a difference between crossdressers and this, because their purpose is a fetish. It's sexual. They're attracted to women. Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, people like me, it's like, I just like dudes. So, you know, it's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
And
nobody can understand anybody, can they? Not really.
No, no. And you know what? The older I get, the more I understand that everyone's kind of like just mentally ill in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like everyone is crazy. But
everybody sane draws the line at kids, right?
Right. But what's so crazy is that that line is now being taken away, right? It's like
they're trying to.
Yeah. You have the corporate press attacking the sound of freedom. You have, to anyone with a set of two eyes and two brain cells to rub together, you can see that there's absolutely a coordinated push to normalize pedophilia, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's the trans surgeries, that's one front, but like on a bigger scale, it's, you know, the pedophilia. Because also the trans kid thing, I think, is explained in a lot of ways by like the over-medicalization of children in general. Like, mm-hmm. you know, a kid who is restless in class, so all of a sudden he has to be put on Adderall at 9 years old. you know?
Right, exactly.
So we always medicalize kids.
It's always Big Pharma getting their big old claws in the government money.
Putting their big fucking dick in everyone's ass with no lube, you know?
No shit.
Yeah. And it's, but what's crazy is there was also a time where people understood that Big Pharma was, you know, you couldn't say that without a negative connotation. And now, you know, you have libs supporting Big Pharma. Yeah. They're pro-war.
They support predatory businesses.
But you saw it even during like lockdowns and COVID where all the libs supported the biggest transfer of wealth in human history, which was, you know, every local business gets to be shut down for 3 years and their lives get to be ruined. But Walmart's open, Target's open. Amazon's still shipping faster than ever, you know. It's like scary how fast stuff from Amazon gets to you. Like,
well, because they were all children of rich people. The whole left is privileged.
Oh, for sure. And that's another thing. Bringing it back to like the tranny shit, the way they've co-opted the trans shit and made that like their frontier.
Uh-huh.
It's not because they
got tired of using the black people.
And the gays got old.
Uh-huh, you know, the gays got old, yeah.
Right. But it's also like, you know, it's not born out of care.
They're warming up the Palestinians that are here now.
Mm, right, right. But it's like, you know, with the trans shit in particular, when you look at a lot of the crazy shit, like on Twitter, when you see like a really bad take, like, you know, 12-year-olds should be able to have their dicks cut off. It's like, sometimes it's trans people saying that, so there's no denying that. But 90% of the time, it's some white, liberal, basic bitch.
No shit, girl.
Right, who's probably never met a trans person in her life, but feels so comfortable abdicating for things that she thinks I have to believe in, which, you know, I...
Because she's doing that, reading your mind and becoming you, subsuming your personality like vampires do.
And that white guilt bullshit where, you know, that's why when you look at the non-binary and trans explosion among like white kids, because they're raised in a culture now that is very like, you have to feel guilt for being white. So they need some sort of minority status in the easiest way.
To feel as a victim. And then that turns on your self-righteous indignation, which brings on your taking to the streets, which brings on your being mass arrested and incarcerated or shipped off to fight in the Ukraine as planned.
Right, it's one big pipeline, you know. But it's also, I think it goes deeper than just needing to feel like a victim. It's also like, I think a lot of straight white people genuinely feel when they're indoctrinated by, you know, when they're blue-pilled, they actually feel like bad about it. They think they are a bad person because there are those things. So they think they can, you know, sort of transition, for lack of a better term, into the good territory by having some sort of...
The word is assuage. They want to assuage their guilt.
Right, right, right.
You lived in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
You know it, nothing but a bunch of devil-worshipping bitches.
Right, and it's also just the energy in general is so demonic, and it weighs you down, and you don't realize it until you leave. Mm-hmm. Like, when I got to Texas, it was like, I didn't remember what it was like to be around people who were nice.
I didn't either. It blew my effing mind.
Yeah, it was a crazy adjustment for me. So I grew up in a really small Christian town, like very religious.
Where?
Northern California, which for people who don't know, Northern California, at least back in my day, like 90s, early 2000s, that was Kansas. That was Arkansas. Yeah. That was very rural. And, you know, it's behind Southern California in a lot of ways. Behind, you know.
Scariest fucking place I've ever been.
What's the name of the town? Stockton?
Corning, California.
Oh, fuck
but
yeah.
But Stockton is hell on earth.
Uh-huh.
No, I know.
Stockton's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so I grew up in a very, like, small Christian town. And, like, you know, I was getting called a faggot by five. You know, I was naturally, my mannerisms were the same as they are now, you know, the way I walked, etc. And so people saw that in me before I saw it in myself. And so I was bullied really heavily. I fought a lot as a kid. And, you know, I was fighting religious Christian people and their kids, not the adults, obviously. Well, that'd be crazy. Just getting beat up by parents. Oh my God. No, I was fighting their snot-nosed little shitty kids. But so I kind of had, obviously, until my like young adulthood, like a resentment towards that archetype of person. And it wasn't until I saw the world start to get really, really dark that I understood, like, you know, people like that are so necessary just to keep things going, mm-hmm. you know? Like, maybe it's something like you're lost on your four-wheeler for 4 or 5 minutes, or maybe it's like you've really been a victim of something and you're bloody on someone's, like, doorstep needing help. People like that keep society together in a lot of ways.
They sure do.
And when you see, like, true, and I'm not someone who actually does necessarily believe in God or not believe, I would like to be pilled on it, but, you know, I feel like I have seen godlessness, though.
Yeah, you have.
In the sense...
We all have, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to keep bringing you back to COVID, but, you know, like, during that time period, I feel like is when I really saw it was, you know, I lived in Hollywood, and people were like, what part of Hollywood? I lived in Hollywood. I was one street from the boulevard. And, you know, at one point there was like 40,000 people on the boulevard, and I saw like the really scary, like, mob mentality, you know, cop cars on fire, military tanks on my street. And, you know, it really woke me up to be like, all of these people, regardless of if they claim religion or not, they are completely godless, at least in the sense of they don't have anything. There's no bigger picture for them. There's no sense of good or evil for them. And some people really need that to not burn fucking cities down, which is what they were doing. So, you know, I don't know if I believe in God, but I believe in godlessness in the sense of how it makes people behave.
Well, I'm letting that sink.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're kind of mind blown there.
No, it's an interesting point of view.
100% accurate.
Yeah, I mean, I want to believe in God, actually. Like, I think I even have like a tweet in my drafts right now where I'm like, can someone just like convince me God is real? Because I just feel like it'd be settling in some ways to just believe in God, but I don't really know how. You know, my brain kind of blocks that off. I do have moments where I like inch closer towards believing in it, and like it can sound corny, yeah. It can sound like I'm a crackhead or whatever, but you know, when I do DMT sometimes, the picture starts to come.
Everyone tells me to try that.
I think you should. I think you should. You know, it's only like a 10-minute experience, although it can feel like much longer. And I actually have had really, really profound realizations about my life doing it. And I'm so aware from the outside looking in that that sounds like this fucking crackhead bitch. But I really have learned a lot about why I am the way I am, who I am, from doing it. And so I feel like you could have that experience as well, so I encourage it. Not that I'm, you know, pushing drugs on you or anything, but
I would love to do it. Michael Malice said he could get me some.
He's the one who kind of told me to try it the first time, too, and, you know.
Have you ever done that ayahuasca like Ron White talks about?
I haven't done that because I've heard very mixed reviews. I've heard, you know, that
people say you shouldn't vomit all over yourself.
And that's not even the bad part. Have a bad trip? No. Like, if you have a bad trip, it's like a bad acid trip. Shitting and puking yourself is getting off easy.
Yeah.
He had a miserable time.
I've heard it's bad sometimes.
I don't want to pay for a bad time.
Yeah, but DMT, you know. Mm-hmm. Not them.
Madonna loves it.
And she looks great.
She did that whole album about MDMA. Isn't that what that is?
No. MDMA. That's like Molly.
Oh, Molly.
That's like a party drug. DMT is like you leave the planet, and then you learn about the planet and your place on the planet, and everything just kind of comes into full picture.
Oh, that would be good to know by 70. I'd love to do that. I'd like to know what the fuck I'm supposed to do.
It's very spiritual. I said on Joe Rogan's podcast that it was the only spiritual experience in like my adult life, because like we kind of been talking about, I'm not such a spiritual person, but I felt spiritual doing it. And it, the only bad thing, and bad is kind of subjective here, is that it did unlock a lot of traumatic memories for me about my childhood. It unlocked that. And so for initially I was like, oh wow, I could have gone my whole life without knowing that. But also I'm glad I do. And I'm glad I know that that happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, because I learned that your brain blocks a lot out.
It sure does. And it brings things in. And you know, I had big brain disorder stuff. What did you find out? Did you get molested? Were you born this way?
I learned that my childhood was much more abusive than I had kind of realized. And I think that all people who go through, and I think you kind of talked a little bit about like your childhood and like the struggles as well. I think the first time we met, we kind of talked about that a little bit. I think that when you go through trauma as a young child, your brain does two things. So your brain, first of all, will make you forget a lot of it. Yeah. And the parts that you do remember, your brain will entirely normalize it, especially because whatever happened in your life is kind of normal to you, no matter how crazy it is. Mm-hmm. There's people who are, you know, tied up and kept in a closet and raped every day of their childhood, and that's normal for them. Mm-hmm. So for me, I just realized the extent for how bad my childhood was, and that it's further on the spectrum of like bad than I thought, you know. Mm-hmm. Which has been both rewarding and painful to understand. The rewarding part is I've learned a lot about why I have certain personality traits, and I've been able to sort of work on them and adjust them. And the painful is it ruins my view of certain individuals in my family and life and what they did, you know. So it is what it is.
It's like that for everybody. That's like just so human, right?
There's levels to it, and it's a lot. But, you know, but you asked if I was born this way with the trans stuff. That's an interesting question, because what is born this way, really? You know, it's like if it's born this way, then that would mean you come out the womb like that. Maybe it happened in the fetus, when you're in a fetus. But then also, like, people don't really get memories until maybe 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe it's something that happens at 3 or 4, and that would be perceived as born this way because that's your first memory. So
yeah,
I don't really know. At some
point, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, I think it could matter. Do you think that on some level, if you are from an abusive childhood, that would, I mean, you talk about this all the time, being disassociated.
Well, I know dissociation makes
Do you think there's a link between disassociation and mental illness?
Well, yeah, all mental illness is dissociation.
I agree, but nobody talks about it. And you and I have talked about this before. There's so much going on in America today that
trauma causes
PTSD. It's post-traumatic stress disorder, and we see a lot of it. And when we look at politics in America and all this stuff, nobody ever brings up the PTSD element or the trans community or gay or straight or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So much of it, I believe, and I've been in so much trouble for saying this for years, but I think PTSD is responsible for about 98% of every problem in America right now.
Mm.
Well, I think they weaponized it, definitely.
Well, that's what MKUltra is.
Yeah, that's MKUltra.
That's what they do. They traumatize you, and then after your PTSD, you become a perfect subject.
Trauma-based mind control.
And I believe it because we've seen it in real time. You know, it's like, I really hate to keep harping on the lockdown COVID shit, but I do feel I endured trauma from that.
It was traumatic.
It was absolutely traumatic. Like, I could almost cry talking about it. And I witnessed the way it affected people in my life, too, just loved ones, and, you know, how it affected everyone in different ways, you know? My mom became one of the crazy, you know, scared of germs, you know, getting every possible, you know, poke that is perfectly safe and everything, you know? It's just, it's a lot. But like for me, so I don't know.
How crazy is it gonna get?
Gonna.
Oh, I mean, okay. Well, I'm saying that.
I mean,
here we are now. But how crazy is it gonna get?
Oh God,
I don't know.
Is it gonna be like that movie with Liza Minnelli, Cabaret? Life is a cabaret.
I haven't seen that.
Oh. That's old.
No one has ever cited Cabaret to talk about like a dystopic future before. I was thinking you were going to go like They Live or Orwell, and you went to fucking Cabaret.
I don't know about like...
You guys got way too high.
I am like really crossfaded. So I don't know about like 98% of problems being from PTSD.
Where's that pan? Right, did you hide it from me?
I could be off with my percentages.
But I don't think you're that far off is what I'm saying. Because
I am not, Blair, to be honest with you.
No.
I want to ask you, what's your bitchiest line you've ever, that you're the proudest of? Where'd you put that pan?
I think it fell somewhere in the couch.
All right, well, you worked that out.
It had to. My bitchiest line.
I bet you put it away.
Maybe I did.
Because you're obsessive compulsive.
We got to get that pen. No, it's not in here.
Well, you guys are just going to have to do this podcast sober. I'm so sorry.
It's in the couch for sure.
If you'd like, you could chew into the microphone a little bit to get more comfortable.
No, if Roseanne wants to get high, we're going to get high. That's just how that works.
Yeah, bitches.
Well, I don't.
Do you see
that on
the floor?
I want to keep talking about disassociation and post-traumatic disorder.
Is it in my coochie? What is... I'm going to have a panic attack. I don't know where it is. You know what? I'm going to continue to try to say smart shit while I'm looking for it. So,
okay, that's fine.
The 98% thing I think might be a bit high, but I do think you're not far off because I do consider me being trans a mental illness.
It is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I
do. Of course it is. Everything is. I have DID, dissociative identity disorder.
It's similar.
I was saying when I was seven, I thought I was a boy. F it. I didn't think I was a boy. I was a boy. Part of me was. And had they been offering all this brainwashing horseshit that they're doing now, I would have signed up.
Yeah.
Not told my parents and went out there and got my arm amputated and made into a fake wiener.
And it you wouldn't would never have Jake. Work
and I'd never have an orgasm, you know, and I never would have Which my isn't five much different kids.
Than now.
Yeah, it's no different than now, but there was a world of joy in between.
Right.
At least you tried.
Well, you know, that's...
See, I don't want to take that estrogen because they said it'll bring back my libido.
Hold on, before we go there, I just want to say the...
I found the pen.
Nice.
I love you.
I found the pen. There you go.
Transgenderism being a mental disorder is something that needs to be talked about because one of my favorite videos you ever did was when you talked about it and you cited the DSM.
Oh, yeah, which you can't now because they took it out.
I know, but at the time you had cited it and that you were just saying, look, by the DSM standards, which is... everyone knows what that is, right? Mom? You all right?
The Diagnostic Statistical Manual.
Of course. Yeah.
So she just did a video saying, just by definition, it is a mental disorder. And she was almost canceled over that.
Right. Well, gender dysphoria, at least. Right. I guess the word trans gender now can mean fucking anything. Is. But gender dysphoria itself. If we're going to say that, which we do say, which guess what's still in the DSM?
What?
Social anxiety, which everyone fucking has at some point to some level.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I have anorexia dyslexia. I never think I'm fat enough.
You're skinny and you can't read? Same.
But how does that... Is...
Trying to get skinnier and read less, actually.
when it says it's a mental disorder, this is one of the favorite points you've ever made. I just want to say it.
I love mental disorder. It's not a
negative
people.
Connotation, right, Blair? Like, it's just a designation.
It is what it Stupid. Is. Because, again, I don't look at people with social anxiety and think that they're a bad person, that they're a necessarily, like, fucking insane person. Right. Because at the end of the day... Like the people who claim to want to destigmatize all the shit.
Well, it's on a what do you call it, spectrum.
It's on it. There's levels to all of it. Because
some
of them
will just stand there rubbing their crotch in the street all day.
Yeah. Right. But see, that is like, that's called autogynephilia. That's a fetish. And that's probably a mental disorder as well.
Definitely a mental disorder.
Right.
But it's hot as fuck. Right?
No.
But that's another interesting thing that a lot of people, if they got money, then yeah. People don't really understand that because from the outside looking in, I know that a lot of this stuff kind of blends in together. But there are people who are, you know, trans, quote unquote, for sexual purposes.
I know. That was the sad thing. I remember back in the day when I was alive. And, it was like all the people that were trans were getting into, not all of them, but I mean, a lot of them that I knew, they were talking about how great being being in prostitution. And that was like, the whole prostitution thing is such a deep, dark rabbit hole to go down. And I did go down it.
Yeah. And there are so many lies told about it, especially now. It's being so mainstreamed. It's being so normalized. And it's like, wow, you know, because that's true. You know, sex work is very common in the trans woman world. And it's not even necessarily because they are autogynephiles, because those are attracted to women. And those are the ones that are in bathrooms showing their fucking cocks. Mm-hmm. But in the trans women, a lot of them get into sex work because they feel like that's the only thing they can do. And at a certain point, maybe that was true. Now Starbucks will hire you if you're fucking trans. But at one point, that was how they made money. And for them, you know, so I've known a lot of them who do that. And all of them are damaged from it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the case with, you know, female. I've known a few female escorts in my life as well. And you endure so much trauma from decoupling sex from emotion, because this is another thing that we were kind of talking about. Mm-hmm. This is something I learned because taking estrogen has really changed my brain chemistry. I completely, associate sex and physical intimacy with emotion, love, you know, a spiritual connection almost with a man.
So and gay.
And so the idea of decoupling that and just treating it as this is a massage or this is, you know, just a physical act that has no emotion behind it, you have to like shut a part of your brain off to do that. And then they also start hating men, which, you know, there are reasons to hate men, but they start fearing them in a way that's even more extreme than just the average woman's distrust of men.
I got a joke I used to tell.
Tell me.
Oh, they always say the lesbians hate the men. How could that be? They don't have to fuck them.
They don't have to deal with them, yeah. Yeah. That's a big thing for me, you know, is over the years transitioning is just like it's really changed the way I view men, even more so than the way it's changed the way I view myself and women, and you know, it's men and understanding like their behavior from the other point of view, where now the estrogen is my predominant hormone. It's like actually wild.
Can I ask you about that? Hold on.
I've taken the testosterone, as I said, and so now I'm like kind of a man.
You're experiencing it, but you,
I am, but I'm seeing like I have a lot more empathy and respect for women than I ever did.
I get
That's
more every
the
year.
Mind blower.
Every year I gain more of an empathy for women. And it's not in like a, you know, fucking libbed out feminist kind of way. It's more so just like a every year that I'm kind of deeper in my transition, even though I'll never understand what it is to be a biological woman. And there are many aspects of that I'll never understand. Pregnancy, periods, and so much more.
Nothing.
Not being able to park. Parallel park.
I can't parallel park. But
I can on a dime. Jake keeps forgetting that. I do a 2-point parallel.
Do I need to bring up the tractor bucket and the faucet today that you broke and getting lost with my daughter before you start talking about
it? I'm talking about the one.
No, you can.
The days back when
park.
I was alive.
You can park. You can't drive, but you can park. Blair, can I just ask you about that when you talk about your distrust in men? Because I find this fascinating.
Well, disgust is a strong word, but it's strong distrust.
I said distrust.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said disgust. I mean, sometimes disgust.
Well, we hear what we want to hear, Blair.
Right.
No, but I find it interesting. So you started your transition 9 years ago. What age were you?
20.
So you were biological, or you were identifying as a man till 20? Or you were...
Well, I find that whole language, like identifying as kind of like new. It's like I was a boy. And
you were a boy.
You know.
You just were like okay with it or
okay
no,
with
no hold on
oh no
what I want to
shut
ask
up
is,
you
no,
don't
no,
know
this is important you were a man until you were 20
yes
and now you've been transitioning and now you have distrust for men. Did you have a distrust for men before you were 20?
No.
Okay, so you think it's the estrogen?
Absolutely. Just because it's
a good question. You gotta let me talk.
Oh, I didn't get that's where
that's
you were going.
Yeah, I mean
my estrogen was missing.
Part of it is like obviously the physical changes that I've undergone, and so my interactions with men are going to be different based on that. And so just kind of seeing how those interactions did change and what they transformed into has kind of made me like, oh
wait, this is fascinating. Okay, I think I know what you're saying. This is akin to kind of you becoming famous. Are you saying that people, once you became a female and attractive, that men were treating you different?
Oh yeah.
And that's what freaks
that's
you out.
That's where I want to
so
go
wild.
Now.
No, that's
so
what we should
wild.
Talk about. Because you, like, I remember, this is just my thing, because you're the famous one. But I was in school. I used to get my ass kicked every day because I was a fat little chubby Jewish kid with, like, page boy haircut. And right when Roseanne went number one, the kids that would kick my ass every day were putting their arms around me and biting me apart. I didn't do shit. I was still the same weird fuck that should have been bullied, to be honest. And, and no, for real. And it fractured me that day. I was like, oh, people see me different by these external forces and they're treating me completely different. It makes you not trust people at all in that split second. Is that what happened?
Absolutely. You start seeing how, you know, I went through a lot of bullying as well. And so I went from every dude is a threat to beating my ass in a homophobic type of way to every dude is a threat because like there's so much sexual tension that I did not initiate. And when you don't initiate it at all and you don't want to engage in it at all, it's very disgusting. It's vile.
Oh, no shit.
And also...
Oh, I can't even tell you.
No, let's talk about it.
Because nobody
ever...
Sick.
No one ever wanted to fuck me, but they still tried. Check that out. Bet you've never lived a day like that.
Well, it's weird too because also because I do come from living, you know, a portion of my life with testosterone as my main drug, I also remember what it's like to have that like male libido.
Right.
And it's like knowing that.
That must disgust you when you see it coming at you.
Absolutely.
That's what I want to ask. But
how come guys don't even fucking know how disgusting they appear to women?
We do. I'll answer that for you. We totally know. We just don't give a fuck. Do you remember?
I think that's true. I think that's true.
No, 100% true.
I think that's true.
I'm the man on the panel that I'm still taking testosterone naturally. But let me ask you. Well,
I'm a bigger man than both of you bitches.
Well, you're bigger.
She's skinny and she can't read. Okay,
I know. But so, but you had test. You went through puberty with testosterone. So I'm
right.
So you remember what it's like. So
yeah,
this
crazy.
Is the question I'm gonna ask, and then I'll stop talking.
Nuts, no pun.
When you say you don't, you distrust men. You know how lecherous they are. You were a man going through puberty with testosterone pumping through. You probably got boners, the whole deal. How, and you must remember,
right.
How'd you hide your boner?
No, hold on. How do you not feel like some sort of empathy to men?
Oh no, I do. Well,
of course,
I'm not.
She does.
I'm not void of empathy. I actually started my channel.
She feels sorry for him.
Of course,
I actually do.
She's trying to save him from going straight to hell, like I'm trying to do with the Jews.
Well, I don't
right.
know how we were talking about.
I'm trying to save all these motherfuckers from going to hell, but
were you lecherous as a like a 13-year-old?
Was I what?
Like, were you? Horny as a 15-year-old?
Oh, for sure, for sure. Like anyone through puberty, but you know, or any boy through puberty, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not that I lack empathy for men, because I actually have a lot. I actually started my channel making videos about men's issues, like the male suicide rate and all that. That's actually how I got my start.
Well, because you love men.
I love men at the same time. That's the thing. There's the duality to it. It's like I actually get along with men when they're good men. Way better than women in a lot of ways.
That's what I was going to say. Because mm-hmm. you was talking about how men change when you change.
Right.
But I one time I lost 120 pounds and I talked to a friend of mine who had lost 150.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what she said to me. Nobody, you know, I was prepared for how the men would be, mm-hmm. how they would be different to me. You know, because, you know, before it was, you know, they acted like they, well, at least they laughed at your jokes when you were fat. I don't know if they respected you more or less, but at least they laughed at your jokes. But then when you were skinny, they didn't laugh at your jokes, but they kept on trying to have sex with you. So,
but wait, you were saying how women were different.
But she goes, but I expected all that. But nobody prepared me for the women.
Right. Let's talk about that.
And okay. I said, oh, shit, you are so right.
Women are
because
evil.
The women are just fucking nothing but witches. Dirty,
they're so evil.
Dirty hoes and witches.
Right.
They can't find their way to what I call the sanctity of the bitch. You see, the bitch is the one who gets things done.
Mm-hmm.
But they're nothing but hoes and witches.
And just cunts.
And cons, we're definitely going to get cut off on what's it called?
I think YouTube, you can say cons.
Your I think you tube. Can say cons. Maybe yeah. you're out of bleep just to be careful.
You just can't talk bad about the Ukraine war, but you can say cons.
Right. Or you know, trans shit, but I'm here so
or
we get past.
Or trafficking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let's go into that, how they're trying to talk about that movie,
Hello.
Sound of Freedom.
Wait, hold on. You were going to ask Blair, now that she's female and attractive, were women...
Oh.
Yeah, I want to hear
well,
that.
Well, also, I just want to clarify really quick. It's not that I don't have an empathy for men. It's that I am distrustful of men only based on the data that I've accrued through my transition, which is, you know, there was a time where I didn't necessarily believe that catcalling was a thing. And I would look at people online talking about it, feminists, oh, catcalling is such a problem. And I was like, that's so stupid. Like, you're not getting fucking catcalled. I didn't believe it the same way a lot of people don't believe that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. I moved to Hollywood. Hello.
You got catcalled.
Hello.
Yeah.
Not just catcalled. I would get followed. There was a time that I had to call Joey because I'm on the street and there's just some crazy half-naked man following me screaming why I didn't match with him on Tinder as if I've ever been on Tinder. Like, nuts. Literally, I should have told him I have nuts. I'm always tempted to do that when they're like too aggressive. It's like, I'm a man, sir. Like, don't come near me. But then I don't want to get my ass beat.
Oh, shit.
But actually, I carry guns. So there's not going to be. Anyways.
Good, you should.
Anyways.
That's why we love Texas.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I had maybe one gun before I moved here. I had just like a little baby Glock in LA. And now I have, I think, 20 guns. Yes. I think literally like 19 or 20. And I've customized all of them. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
No, I ain't seen your guns.
Yeah, I have like pink guns, pink AR.
Sweet.
I have a red KSG.
You got an AK?
I do. It's colored purple and blue and yellow.
Oh, how cute.
When we go shooting, we want to go shooting with you.
Any fucking time. We should film for my channel a shooting somewhere. That'd be so fun.
Let's go shoot some shit up.
Yeah, she'll kill a living thing for buck sticks.
I mean, you're on that.
I'll eat it.
You're on that testosterone.
She'll eat it right there. She'll rip the heart out.
No, I won't. I'm not Hillary Clinton.
Hello.
Hello. It's only
baby. Hello. Right.
Hey, what's the worst, bitchiest, meanest shit you've ever said that you laugh about at night before you fall asleep?
Oh, my God. That is so hard because I feel like most of what I say is bitchy. You know, I love to comment on how I assume people smell. Like, there's just one bitch. There's because sometimes you can see through the camera. It's like, yeah, you know, that bitch smells.
You can see it.
It's like hot dog water coming through. You know, I love people. I love telling people they're just not it.
It's a rancid ketchup mixed with lard.
Right. Right. And hot dog water. But, you know, I just love telling people they're not it. You know, because so many people think they're it. So many people go into everything and they say the stupidest shit and they think that it's justified by them being it and really doing the thing. And it's like, you're not. It's like, you're musty, you're crusty. You're not it and you can't speak that way. If you were it, you could probably get away with saying fucking anything. Because I say crazy shit and I get away with it. That's how I know I'm kind of it.
You are it. I see the shit you say, but you know, it's true.
I try to be.
There's just a certain point where it's got, if it's true,
then who, I mean, yeah,
they'll probably end up killing you. But, you know, they can't silence you, but I guess they can kill you.
Well, we said this before, no one ever really dies anymore. You know, it's like,
that's true.
You can kill me, but I've accrued, you know, a cult fan base of, mm-hmm. you know, over a million people now that live for what I do. And the shit I've said will always live on. And it doesn't, and you know, the main thing I get hate for is like criticizing.
Because you're immortal.
Right. Right.
That's right.
Right. When you're it.
Especially
you're AI. When you're it, you're always fucking it, bitch. You right. can't take it away from somebody who was it.
And you will remain it.
And I will remain it for fucking ever.
Right.
Long after you and your spawn are buried in fucking dead in the sea.
Period. Period.
Because you ain't it.
Because but the other,
you couldn't do this.
No,
you couldn't do what I did. You ain't got the brains or the muscle, the know-how, or the
talent,
nothing.
the strength,
the goddamn gumption, or the fucking goddamn
the favor. It's divine favor as well.
I no, feel
you believe
that,
in God.
Well, see, you do believe
I feel,
in God.
Well, you know what, here's the thing, when I say I don't,
because I think it's divine favor for sure. It's a gift. I didn't
well, yeah.
come up with this shit. He yeah. just jiggles my eyeballs back and forth, and I go, hey, that's incongruent. And I go, incongruent, that's a joke. I can get a right. joke out of that incongruent bullshit they try to shove down our throat, such as saying, the Dems saying that the Republicans are just impeach happy.
Oh,
that's
fuck.
Fucking funny shit.
But you know what? That's what I was saying earlier. It's like, okay, so I was having this conversation yesterday that like the whole like a lot of people talk about disinformation campaigns and how the government puts out false information all the time to lead you astray from certain things. And like that's true to an extent. But
what
I think
about that chef on the Obamas?
Well,
oh, yeah, for sure.
What were we saying?
But that's the thing. I think that it's less about putting out disinformation because I don't think they actually even care. They put it right in your face. And if you don't blindly believe in it, you are no longer a participant in society. So that's actually their campaign. It's like, I don't necessarily know if they put out like false stuff sometimes for sure. But like, they don't care. They will tell you men can get pregnant to your face. And if you don't believe that, you're fired.
Yeah, what is that? If that's not, that's a good point. That's
right.
Disinformation.
They don't need to put out fake information about how men can get pregnant. They just give the same information that's always been there in biology 101, high fourth grade. And you're just supposed to psychically read it as something else. And if you don't, you are fucking gone.
But don't forget that that's the show. And mm-hmm. all of America is watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
they're
true.
Going, hey, wait a minute. These fucking guys that are telling us that are saying we're offensive are walking down the street waving their dicks in the little children's face. Wait a minute.
I wasn't ready for that one.
Mom just comes right
that one hit. That one
incongruent.
Hit. Incongruent is a great fucking word for that. Your whole spirit is incongruent. How dare you?
Yeah, how fucking dare you, stupid bitch.
It's like,
you think God don't see you? That's that's why I believe in God, because God is retribution, bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
The
and
God
that's,
of the Bible is all about retribution against Sodom and Gomorrah mm-hmm. and against evil and the snakey
right.
that got a hold of them women and made them worship the erect phallus.
I love when sentences start so good. They start good.
There's been like three sentences in a row that I wasn't prepared for the second half of the sentence. But you know what? That's why you're it. So it's whatever.
That's her thing.
Don't tell me I ain't it, right, bitches?
But you know what?
They tried to kill me because I was it.
You know what? They've tried to kill me my whole life.
Yeah, my whole life too. Yeah.
I was 4 years old uh-huh. with preschoolers. Calling me a faggot.
Oh my!
Like, what is that?
Where did they hear that?
Right, but you know, it's like they were right, of course. But you know, I've always faced crazy opposition.
Did you hear it in your family, though?
Huh?
Did you hear it in your own family?
Not the word specifically, but I have been disowned by my dad's half of the family. So that's interesting. Shout out to y'all, pieces of shit. That's just so foul to me. Is that you? There's people who stick by like their family members who like molest kids.
Oh, they all do that.
Oh, Stevie got out of prison for 15 years. He molested his cousin, but that's our family. Yeah. And it's like, oh, but so because I got tits, I'm out. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and it's that self-righteous shit. They're also self-righteous. That's
right.
That pride goes before a fall. That's why I say it's weird they call it the pride parade.
I've never liked that. I've never liked
nobody who's real like that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I started that motherfucking thing, you know, that GLAD. They put that up on my back.
Did they?
Then turned against me. They're the ones that took me off TV.
Well, they're evil.
I started that GLAD shit. And you know what? They would fight every year. They would fight about whether they should honor me or not. When I was on number one on the Roseanne show, I kicked them off and the Trevor Foundation. And both of them turned me into the Nazis.
You know how fucking evil they are? People don't understand how evil they are.
I do.
Right. I have a personal story as well about them. So obviously, you know, I'm someone who is very much in like LGBT media, news sites, all that, very, you know, demonized, which is to be expected. But what you don't expect is for these organizations to try to interfere with your real life, at least, you know, until you're black-pilled like me on some things. You understand how evil they are.
All right. Well, I have one thing to ask you, because last night you did those gummies that they sent.
Yeah, I took it. I took a red one.
Well, they give you, they had ones with caffeine, they had ones with different milligrams. Which one did you take?
I took the sleeper one.
And did you sleep?
I slept like a damn baby all night long.
Did you take the other one that had more THC in it that got y'all fucked up? You haven't done that yet.
No, I have not done that one yet.
All right.
But I do look forward to it.
All right. So Diet Smoke is a company that sent you gummies they have THC in them. They're mm-hmm. they're weed gummies. But what's cool about it, and I'll let you talk about it more.
Well, they taste delicious.
Well, and they also tailor. So when you go on Diet Smoke, you can actually say, hey, I have trouble sleeping or I need more mm-hmm. energy at work. They have so many different strains. They have shit with caffeine in it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of places to buy weed. But what's cool about this place is they will actually talk you through the process, find out what you need in your life, and they will send you what you need.
That's so cool. I'm going to help them develop a dissociative identity disorder strain.
I love that.
To help those of us who are dissociative and have 5 or 6 random personalities going around.
I assume that's just marijuana by itself does that.
Marijuana helps with the multiple personalities.
Do you still have multiple personalities?
Yeah, now and then. Searching for the perfect buzz? Look no further. Diet Smoke is here to guide you on your journey to finding the ultimate cannabis gummies. With a with a wide range of strength and doses, Diet Smoke is committed to tailoring the experience specifically to you. Whether you crave something stronger to unwind, a boost of energy to keep you going, or a lighter option for a mellow vibe, Diet Smoke has got your back. We understand that everyone is unique, which is why we're dedicated to helping you find the perfect product. Our knowledgeable team will be by your side, providing expert guidance every step of the way. Explore our selection of cannabis gummies, each one carefully crafted to deliver the ideal balance of flavor and effect. From potent relaxation to uplifting euphoria, we've got something for every taste. Don't settle for less. Join the Diet Smoke community and discover your perfect buzz. Visit DietSmoke.com today and use code ROSANNE2Es for 50% off any item and embark on a journey to cannabis bliss.
50%, that's great.
Diet Smoke, your partner in finding the perfect cannabis gummy.
I said this in my last video. I said, everyone seems to be seeking all of this external validation all of the time.
All of the time.
The entire culture is based on external validation now. Narcissism for sure. And a lot of this fucking, you know, non-binary shit is based on narcissism. You know, imagine telling someone you have to call me Zizer. I'm the narcissist in that situation.
Absolutely.
But you would be perceived by, you know, whatever, as the narcissist for not doing it or only caring about yourself and not me. And it's like, that's backwards. But the thing about the external validation is like,
I'm changing my name to Zizor.
You should. No, it in itself. That's a good one because you're it.
Yeah.
It.
It in itself.
Your pronouns are it in itself.
Right.
That's good.
It in itself.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are my pronouns. It in itself.
It slash itself.
The older I get, I'm kind of at this point in my life right now. I'm 29, about to be 30.
Oh, jeez.
You know, I might be maybe like 2 months away from being 30. And I feel like I've done a lot of obviously like physical work. I've made a lot of changes on that front. And that only takes you so far in terms of your being.
Yeah.
In fact, it doesn't take you far at all.
Who are we talking about? Madonna and her plastic surgeries?
Yeah, she looks crazy. But I feel like I will probably look similarly crazy by that time because I've gotten so much already.
Are you going to keep doing stuff?
Oh, for sure.
That's when you look crazy, though, just so you know.
I know.
You have to stop. You got to stop her at some point.
I know. I just feel like there's something about being like really old and really like done up that kind of gives wealth at the same time. So I'm like,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's just the moderation. My mother looks better than ever. She's 70, but she stopped. The last plastic surgery you had was probably 25 years ago.
What all have you gotten done? You said you got work done earlier.
Head to toe, bitch.
Let's hear it. I'll tell you all mine, too. I have some crazy ones.
Well, first of all, let's start at the head.
This isn't even my head.
I just realized you've had your sunglasses on the whole time. I forgot.
Yeah, because Jake's trying to blind me with that, I'm already blind.
I just want you to look pretty.
But eyelids.
Mm-hmm. That's number one. That's the number one.
I have very
plastic
heavily
surgery.
Hooded eyes because we're Cossacks.
Mm-hmm. I have hooded eyes too. Yeah.
Did you do your eyelids?
No, but that's one I've thought about because, you know, hooded eyes, maybe you want to fix them.
That's the most common.
Your eyes look perfect. Thanks. What's your parentage or your nationalities?
I'm everything. And I learned that when I did a DNA test recently.
What'd you find out?
I thought I was just half white, half Hispanic because my mom is Mexican and my dad is white. But I learned that I'm also maybe a little 6% black. So that's like a whole pinky finger, right?
Oh, you get the N-word pass.
Right. I'm going to do it right now.
N-Q.
Right. You know, that's like a whole pinky finger, 6% of your body. Maybe even a whole hand.
More than that.
Yeah. So maybe like a foot. So that was shocking. Didn't expect that. I am all types of European. Mm-hmm. I think even had like a little tiny drop of Asian up in that bitch. Mm-hmm. So maybe a little bit of that.
I'm seeing all of that on you because, you know, I read the head shapes.
Yeah. Well, I've changed my head shape, which is crazy.
No, you can't change your head bones.
I did.
What you changed your head bones?
Yeah.
Head bones?
What head bones?
I got my brow bone done. So this is a little transsexual 101 for you. Okay. This is real transsexuals. You don't hear about this because the days of the real transsexuals are gone, and it's just these people who don't transition now, but pick your dicks out in front of kids. The brow bone, biological males have more of a brow bone here.
So you shaved that down?
Yeah, I had to get like, I think it was like 40 staples all along my head.
So they cut your...
They pulled my whole face off. Yeah, yeah. And then they shaved it down mm-hmm. and stitched me back up.
The actual skull?
The actual skull. Jesus. Because...
Good God.
Yeah, yeah. But that was also a really rewarding surgery because the results were really great. Like, in terms of, like, that's one of those things on a subconscious level. You might not know men have brow bones, but when you see a bitch with a heavy brow bone, she reads those as very manly. Mm-hmm. Male or female. But, yeah, so... But keep going with yours. I want to hear yours because I'm so interested. Because you look so natural.
You did the facelift.
Well, then I did the nose.
And then you had.
I had my nose narrowed and debulbed.
Debulbed.
Bulbed. They put like a piece of chicken meat, chicken cartilage right in here. So
oh, really?
Goes up. Yeah, it's weird how it goes. Wow. And then they file this part down. And my nose has never stopped running since.
Oh, that sucks.
It just runs 24/7.
Oh, that sucks.
So that's the price. Everything has a price.
You did all three chins at one point. All
three chins. Fucker. And I got a facelift.
Yeah.
39 years old I got. They said if you get it before 40, you'll only need one in your life.
You only did need one. You look great. And you did your butts, cheeks.
Nice.
I was just getting down to the neck.
What did you do on your neck?
I didn't do nothing on my neck, but that facelift, neck lift thing.
No, you look great. I did the
boob job.
Yeah.
You've gotten good work. It's very natural. When you told me you got a lot of stuff done,
I had the tummy tuck.
Yeah. Okay.
That I remember
then
because
I got
they
the
gave
air,
you
the all the
belly
fat
button.
Sucked out of my stomach put into my butt.
Yeah.
A BBL. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah, I kind of want a BBL, but I don't want to gain weight for it because I'm pretty thin, so I don't want to...
Well, mom will lend you some.
I just am scared of being like a fat fuck on camera for like 4 months just to get a surgery and then have to lose it all again. I don't.
Yeah.
Because I'm from here up on camera. It's like I'm gaining weight for BBL, but all you see is this. Like,
remember them old drag queens? You probably don't remember back because you're so young. But they used to be just injecting silicone, playing up into their ass and shit.
Yeah, a lot of trans women do that, but that kills you.
No, but we'd tell them, like, that's going to kill you. Well, I don't care. They'd say, well, I'm making the money now.
Yeah, they're here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah, good time, not a long time.
Yeah, but that does kill you because the difference between silicone injections is that it's free-flowing, whereas, like, silicone breast implants or implants anywhere else, like I have, you know, they're encased in something. Right. So that shit can move anywhere. You know, I've met, you know, people that have had that done, and it's like, going down their leg type shit. Mm-hmm. So it's bad. Yeah.
Well, I had the implants and one of them turned into a brick.
Breast implants?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And reduction.
First I got the reduction. Then it went like two pancakes versus two French breads. So I had them shortened two pancakes. So they said, well, you can inflate them up. I thought, why not?
Right.
Always the goal for me is I didn't want to wear a brassiere. I hate brassieres.
Yeah, I don't wear bras. I hate bras.
God, I don't want my big sagging tits flopping around.
Right.
So the happy medium.
So you get surgery.
Get surgery.
Yeah. I mean,
I went from a G to a D.
A G. That's oh my God. That's fucking huge. I would assume.
Yeah.
Wow. It's long.
Oh, long.
Yeah, because when you look at it, you're
like, geez. I mean, okay.
I nursed a ton of brats.
Is that everything you've had done or anything else?
Huh?
Anything else you've had done? Is that it?
That's it.
I think so.
I think that's it. Yeah, the last one.
Well, my knee,
butt.
I broke my knee. That's I had not, that put back together. That
oh, that's count. Not plastic surgery. That's no. like a well, necessary.
Well, it was an artist that did it.
Yeah, but we're talking cosmetic surgery, not like surgery because you
had. Oh, I had a stomach bypass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Phobie pouch. And then I had.
I think that's it. The tummy tuck was the worst because I remember they pulled your stomach down and then they cut it and stitched it and then they poked you a new belly button.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Then I had IVF and they went back through that belly button to impregnate me.
Ugh. All right,
this is... I had like maggots crawling in and out of it for a little while.
Ew, dude. You know what this needs? You guys need to be eating that sausage.
Wait, was that a joke?
No, that was true. Yeah.
You had what?
Maggots crawling in my belly button because it got infected.
Oh.
Yeah.
My God.
No good.
Jeez.
I've almost never heard anything more horrific about a surgery. That's crazy.
Oh, all my surgeries went fucking rotten bad.
Really?
Yeah. They all was no good.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that sounds like worse than no good.
I had to be on the pain pills for years.
I'd be on any pill to fix maggots. Holy
well,
shit.
Well, they came and poured some solution over it.
Right.
And they killed them all.
Oh, my God.
And I did get pregnant, so can that was good.
Oh, my God. This is the craziest. I've never heard of something so fucked up. Jesus.
I told you, Blair, you should stop.
Oh, my God.
Worse. It gets worse.
I've been very lucky. I've never had any issues with surgery. Everything's gone how I wanted it to, surprisingly.
Well, continue on what you did.
Yeah,
you
let's hear
you didn't
list.
Even get down. You just said the tits.
Let's hear the hit list.
Come on. You did your
okay.
butt.
Tits, brows.
Yeah, if we do
you
top
did
to
your
bottom.
Butt. I know you did your butt.
We're going to go top to bottom.
Your butt is so perfect. I am so jealous of that butt.
We could trade.
I'm too old for a butt like that now.
So I've had my hairline lowered.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that was done at the same time as the brow bone because it was easy for them to, while they were already cutting me, they're just like, we can just pull that down a little bit. So I'm like, let's do it. They also lifted the brow with that because they could do that easily too because they're all in there. I've gotten my nose, of course. You know, I have maybe no more nose jobs left in me. They took almost all of it off. And then I have had...
That reminds me of Morgan Fairchild in the...
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say Michael room. Jackson.
No, Morgan Fairchild.
She was
in the dressing room when she's a guest on my TV show. And I go in there and she's looking in the mirror, ratting her hair. Like this. She goes, Jesus Christ, I have almost no nose left.
Yeah, I love how it came out, but I also am fully aware that that was a one and done because anything else is, you know,
Michael
we're pushing it.
It's just not cute after that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want it any different anyway. It's like
no, because you know you're cute.
Thank you. I mean, I do know that. I'm not even a cocky way. I'm big on being self-aware. Like, if I wasn't, then I wouldn't get a lot of the.
I love how you do your eyeliner.
Thank you.
I did mine like that in high school.
I guess that means I'm really immature because I'm almost 30.
No, but that was like that was an art in high school. So do your eyeliner.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. I'm trying to get more into makeup lately, but...
How fun is makeup?
It's fun. You get to change your face. It's great. I'm all about that, clearly. So I've had my nose, my brow lift, hairline, my tits, obviously. I got that done at the same time as all of that.
Oh, my God. How long are you in the hospital?
Like 30 minutes. Like, they did it, and then I was...
Huh?
They did it, and then I was wheeled, like, when I woke up. Obviously, the surgery took longer, but the... I was wheeled out into an Uber to go back to my hotel about 30 minutes.
Are you shitting me?
Nope.
How long did you have to recover at home?
I was out of town at the time. I had to fly out for it. And I was in a hotel for a week before I could fly home because I had 40 staples. It's actually on YouTube. People can see it. I looked fucking nuts. Like my whole, I looked like Frankenstein. It was just crazy. But I got my tits done at the same time and no one prepared me for how bad that would hurt. Like, I went from, you know, this wall, knock, knock, to, like, sizable tits. So, it's, like, no one told me that would feel really bad. But I'm happy with how it all came out. And then I've also done, like, a lot of fillers. You know, I've had my cheeks filled, my chin filled. I've had, like, Botox in a lot of places to do different things. Like, I've had, like, the sides of my jaw snatched with Botox. Like, there used to be big muscle there. So, I killed all that. Had a Botox brow lift. That's it. That's it, actually, yeah. I've only ever done anything to my face and my chest.
You didn't do the butt?
Mm-mm.
You didn't do the butt?
I did not do the butt.
Damn.
That's estrogen.
That does a lot, too.
That's well, like your butt is a perfect butt.
Thank you.
I've sought after a perfect butt for myself this whole lifetime I've lived.
You're almost obsessed with it. Like
well, I've always been obsessed with it because I was born with no ass. I had no ass. I say I was assless in an ass-based economy.
It is an ass-based economy.
And I had nothing going for me, and plus I was fat and had no waist either.
Well, you know, I didn't have any of the shit I have now, so you can always get it somehow. You can still fight for it.
Well, I think 70. I have. I'm 70. Well, when 70.
You get your sex drive back, you might want to start doing this stuff.
No, I won't.
I don't ever want a sex drive back.
You don't have a sex drive?
No, it's repulsive.
Is that because of the hormones? Or
just, mm-hmm. I mean, it's
just who she is.
Well, it's partly that too, because actually, even before I transitioned, I didn't have like the highest sex drive. I actually lost my virginity after I transitioned.
No wonder you think dudes are creeps.
Yeah. but you know, it's like,
are you asexual?
No. I have some, you know, but it's like not a lot. And I associate it with like emotion and love, so like I have to be in that headspace. I can't just be like turned on physically by something. Nothing turns me on physically like that.
Uh huh.
Well, you got to stimulate me here.
Mine requires a fucking candlelight dinner and then watching.
By myself. Two plates by yourself.
And then,
the candle in the middle.
And then watching a show on forensic solving a murder. Mm.
Something gory.
Then sleeping for 4 hours.
I mean, honestly, we're kind of similar in that front. I mean, it has to be just like in bed all day.
Are you scared of what's happening in our country, though?
Let's talk about that.
Let's get into that. You must be scared shitless. China's taking over our whole fucking country while these people are dancing their way into hell.
Literally the pits of motherfucking hell.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, to take it back to the fucking nightmare that was 2020, I feel like there's a different experience between people who lived in big cities at the time, like Los Angeles, like I did, and, you know, suburbs. You know, again, mm-hmm. you're like a fucking white lib who doesn't understand how fucking crazy it got. Mm-hmm. There were military tanks on my street.
Right.
There were guards keeping you from entering the beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were every single business shut down while Hollywood actors were still going to work. In fact, I lived one block away from where they filmed the Oscars every year. I have a very distinct memory of, you know, deep in 2020, the whole world's as fucked as it was. It was like peak fucked. And the Oscars was filming in the fucking next block. And I could hear the fucking, you know, whatever the noise was. And I was like, oh, so it's just communism.
Yeah.
It's just destroying the fucking lower middle class. Mm-hmm. And it's just demoralizing us as a fucking people. And everything else is just the bullshit sprinkled on top because no one goes below that. Everyone accepts the sprinkles on top. Oh, it's a virus. And then all the other shit, they never fucking stretch their mind to even guess that it might be that. I always say I'm more scared of the people who didn't see anything sinister about that entire experience than I am of the people who enacted all the sinisteriness.
Yeah. I know. They're the perfect Germans.
Because they're the reason it happens. They are the perfect Germans.
Yeah.
There were hotlines in LA snitching on your fucking neighbor.
Yeah.
So am I scared of the trajectory of the country? Yeah.
Can we talk about how Obama killed the chef yet?
I mean, hi. How?
Good morning.
Do you think Michelle's a trans?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I think that she...
Not you.
I think that she has a very unfortunate look that makes her appear that way, but my tranny senses say that she is a naturally born woman, but a roughly naturally born woman, that's all. But you know, I don't fucking know either. That's the thing. I start off with everything just being a lie in my mind, and then I work from there.
Yeah.
The older I get, that's where I start at always. So, like, you know, I got in an argument with my friend recently about, like, should I even say this on camera?
Absolutely.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I know you don't believe there was dinosaurs.
That's not true.
Well, okay, no. She's so I don't necessarily believe in dinosaurs,
yeah.
But I don't necessarily not believe in dinosaurs. And the reason for that is that I've never really looked into it like that. And so for me to blindly just believe it because, what, in third grade we did a lesson on dinosaurs, or because in high school we had another class
so
that touched on it?
So you're saying that you haven't really
looked into
searched
it.
Into the subject and you right. have no it's, opinion as yet.
Yeah, it's not in my sphere
that's okay
of care.
To say that.
Right, but in a way...
my sphere of care.
It's not in my sphere of care. I'm busy getting fucking surgeries and fucking, you know... Yeah. Running my mouth on YouTube, I'm not looking up fucking dinosaurs. What do I look like? Do you think there's ever been a scene of me Googling a brontosaurus? I've never done that. So for me, it's like too many people are comfortable just blindly believing things because they are supposed to. And that's on the list of things you are supposed to believe, whether or not you've ever cared to look into it. Among other things, some of them, which really are bullshit theories, like, you know, I'm not a flat earther. But there is something about the fact that you're supposed to believe in it that makes me be like, I don't know.
No, you want to question everything.
Absolutely. And you don't, you want to be red-pilled and not take the whole bottle. Right. You take one or two, maybe three times a day based on your doctor's suggestion.
Isn't it weird? I'm all the way red-pilled, bitches.
My whole thing is, like, I know that we are lied to so much and we are lied to from birth until we die. That's and, true. You know. The theme of my entire mindset tonight seems to be COVID, but we witness so many things told incorrectly in real time about COVID, and you just know the history books are not going to reflect what the fuck we went through during
that.
No,
they're
not.
We
have to keep it alive.
Right.
I mean,
people's
parents and children died.
Right.
And the hospitals were getting paid to let them die.
And they're not going to put that in there.
No.
Right? And they're not going to put down that maybe the beaches were closed and maybe the, you know. So my whole thing is, if I'm watching history be told inaccurately in real time, then how the fuck do I trust literally anything even 100 years ago, 150 years ago? Yeah. And it's not that I go into it being like dinosaurs aren't fucking real. I go into it being like, I don't fucking know. And I'm not going
to
be...
Do you think they went to the moon?
I don't know. I've seen videos giving some pretty good points on either side. I will say, is there anyone with two brain cells to rub together or two eyes that doesn't think the government is capable in the very least of faking something like that or lying in that manner? Because even if you don't believe that it is a lie, you got to believe they're capable of such a lie.
Absolutely, during the space race.
I'll
especially.
Go one
especially.
Better from all of y'all. I weaseled my way into the top echelon of the echelons and got drunk with the best of them.
I believe that.
And?
You know it's true.
Absolutely.
And I asked the best of them some real questions when we was drunk.
You were talking about upper echelons. You're talking about like people in Hollywood or?
Oh, no, in the government.
Oh.
Of the world.
I thought you were going to ask
about the moon. And I said, now did we go to the moon or not?
What did he say?
No.
No.
Hello.
Who was this?
I'm not going to name
Buzz Aldrin?
Huh?
Buzz Aldrin?
Ooh.
Who's Buzz Aldrin?
Okay. Oh.
All right.
I never met the man.
Who Good else morning. Did you meet on the moon? Whatever.
I met all the astronauts that went on the moon except Buzz Aldrin.
Is Hillary Clinton a lesbian? I feel like she is.
Are you joking?
Who?
I mean, Hillary Clinton. She's just clearly a fucking lesbian, right?
Clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, Mom? Yeah. Oh, wait. Show her the picture. She's got the lesbo neck.
I don't know what she
right
is.
Right there, Mom. Grab it. Where do you know what lesbo neck is, Blair?
No. They have a certain neck?
Yeah, their necks are thicker.
Oh, well, there's gay face, too.
I don't
too.
Know what she is, but, well, I think she's beyond a sexuality.
Well, she's not even human, so can a human be a lesbian? I don't know.
Well, you know, there was a UFO hearing this week that we're not even talking about, which is like the biggest news story ever, and they basically admitted that there's UFOs, so is that...
Not even basically. It was just literally...
Yeah.
And
Did
it's
you
just,
see it?
We're, yeah,
I can't believe we're not even talking about this.
And there is this very weird thing that humanity does with aliens that we have this huge buildup of like decades and decades of like pop culture focusing on it and movies and theories and documentaries. And like at one point it was just the hugest topic. And now the government's putting it out there and everyone's like,
meh,
I don't care. Which is strange.
Well, think
it's
about
all
it.
A psyop.
Well, we're so brainwashed and politically fucking crazy.
It's all just a psyop.
And we're like, aliens.
Who's going to react to what and what kind of...
No, there really are aliens.
Who's
going
to react to what and what kind of a fucking device they will purchase as a result.
No.
Or what they'll face.
It's a total Marxist marketing
People don't care that there's aliens. They don't care that Congress admitted to aliens. It's like the biggest story in history of humanity, and nobody gives a shit.
You know what it is? I just figured it out.
Because we're brainwashed. That's what I think.
It's not even the brainwashing. We're going to take it all the way back to about PTSD. All
right, I'm with you. I love this.
Everything we fucking went through the pandemic, I think people forget that before that, if you would have told me ever that a fraction of those things were going to happen to society in my lifetime, the society was going to crumble that way, and, you know, whatever, I would not have believed you.
Same.
In fact, I would have said that'd make a great movie.
Yeah, sci-fi.
Yeah, right.
So sci-fi. I think we're so fucking broken from that and so desensitized, and there's so much trauma that was endured that we haven't even processed from that. How the fuck are we going to process aliens?
Yeah, that's probably
true. We can't process that. That's the next step
in the psyop.
I've heard that.
The fake alien thing.
But I don't know if they're fake. First of all, I think it's more believable that there are extraterrestrials than they're not.
Yeah.
Right? So this would be
here is what I think. They've been here for a million years.
Isn't that, that's what I'm asking. Isn't that what reptilians are?
They just
want
to come out of the closet.
But isn't that what reptilians are extraterrestrials? And I don't know.
Yeah, they are extraterrestrials that came here through the pharaonic line.
Okay, so they're basically admitting that that's true.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
But that's but no one cares. It's so nobody cares. Crazy.
It's like, of course there's reptiles.
Well, that's because they don't read the Bible because it's right there in black and white in the Bible. And nobody reads the Bible
because they're all
freaking numbskull idiots that have been brainwashed by Rome.
But they'll say reading the Bible is brainwashed. That's the other side of that argument.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it's also like,
but
that would be what would be said if like the truth was just being censored like that too. So it's like it's all mind.
Well, luckily for you, the Bible is encoded at about 18 different levels. So. For one load of bullshit, it shows you how to throw that off and get to the next level.
But how do you throw off reptiles?
They can't stop intelligence.
Okay, so there's aliens here among us.
There always was.
I believe that.
Since the Garden of Eden with the serpent.
Yeah.
Okay.
The serpent is the alien.
Okay. So the serpent's here to just fuck with us? Because that's what it did with Adam and Eve, right? They tempt you? Serpent
the serpent tempted the woman.
Yeah, oh, it's always the woman. No guy's going to do it. We're smarter.
Well, the serpent is a symbol of the phallus.
So Satan is a phallus.
Is an erect penis.
I believe that as well. Yeah, I speak from personal experience.
100%.
Because the whole Torah is written for the ear of the woman, but they don't want you to hear that. Because once you hear that, you'll actually stop being a bitch, and then there'll be world peace.
I do believe women are responsible for all the
everything
turmoil.
Is women's fault,
and they
want to deny that, and they're causing all the shit in the world.
1,000%.
Because you're not it.
Because you ain't it. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Never been, never gonna be, could never maintain the status of that. Never gonna happen. Some girls can, some girls can't.
Right? And I did. And I did
it. And you
it
will
twice.
Continue to
and
do it.
And I will continue to do it because they're not going to slap me down.
And it's not even a choice. You can't choose to not do it. It's innate. It's like breathing.
God. It's
like breathing.
It's God, get out there, Roseanne, because, you know, get out there, bitch.
I wonder if that one
they're
bitch
demons.
On the plane saw
they're
reptilians.
Demons, huh?
That's what we taught. Thank you, Blair.
That bitch on the plane where she was like,
it's scary
I'm telling
shit.
You right now,
yeah, a
that
lot
motherfucker's
people,
not real.
Yeah, people
did
are seeing
the did they ever find
the
her?
Demons.
They can't find her, right?
No, she
and
disappeared.
That's weird because you can find anyone in 2023. There's no hiding from anything.
They never found her or Amber Lamps. Do you remember Amber Lamps?
No.
I'm not even going to get into it.
Okay.
Two people
well,
have never
it
been
is,
found.
Remember, anybody can turn... any of us into a video game at any second.
AI is pretty fucking terrifying.
So, you know, you don't know if anything's true or not.
We might be AI.
We could be AI.
In fact...
Oh my God, I just got the best
idea. The only way I know I'm not AI is because I only talk about the Torah.
Yeah.
That's how you know I ain't AI.
No one would program that. Dude, we could use deepfakes
to get out
of getting in trouble. They wouldn't
dare program the Torah into the beast.
You're either AI or you're it.
You're either AI or you're it.
All of them are AI. We figured it the fuck out.
We did. We cracked AI.
Thank you.
Hello, life. We figured you out.
AI, deep fakes, too. You can use that if you actually get in trouble. You could just say it's a deep fake, too. No, we're not thinking about the other side. We're like, this is so scary. But think about it. If you get caught on tape saying something really untoward that's going to get canceled, you could just say it's a deep fake and hire a couple guys to put a little graphs on your face. You could say anything. There's a positive to it.
That's what's scary. We're at the very end of anything being real, really. Do you believe in hell as part of your overall world or like view of the of creation and all that? You believe in hell as well?
You mean do I believe in what I see on this earth?
Right.
And under the ground? Oh yeah, I believe in what I see. The terrors and the horrors of what I've seen on this earth in war and all that. Oh yeah, I think that's hell.
Okay.
Do you?
Yeah.
There's nothing worse.
Yeah, I was saying earlier at the top of the podcast, you know, I haven't seen God necessarily, but I've seen godlessness. Right. So, yeah, that's, yeah.
Well, if you see godlessness, then that means you
Then the opposite has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
There you go. You're welcome. I told you I would do it.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like an inherent, you know how like when you're hungry, when you're thirsty. Yeah, when you just have some need.
Well, just go like this right now. look up through your eye sockets as far as you can.
You can go further now because her brow's been shaved.
Right, my eyes are really big.
Look all the way up to where your head hurts or your eyes strain. All the way up there.
I've been throw up. I've been drinking for hours.
Do it, and then
we're like talk about God smoking.
Breathe in while you're doing it.
Okay, sorry.
Your eyes way up there. Breathe in, contain it. Up there. Cool. It's cool up there.
I don't think I'm trans anymore.
It works.
This has been Conversion Therapy with Roseanne Barr and Blake.
You don't think you'll ever regret what you did, do you?
No, because before I transitioned, I was the biggest piece of shit. And that's how I always know, like, when I see these, like, younger people transitioning and, you know, they regret it, it's like, the difference is like it either enhanced your life or it didn't, you know? And for me, there was no path for me to necessarily be like a participating member of society, if that makes sense. You know, it was like, you know, as a teenager, I was like drinking and partying and making no good decisions, couldn't hold a job, had no motivation. And then I started transitioning and suddenly I had a path. So that's what it kind of gave for me. And it's, I would say, cured like 95% of my gender dysphoria, which is supposed to be the goal, you know, and that's really the thing that it should be done for. So that 5%, I don't think you can ever truly cure mental illness. I think you'll have little spikes, but, you know, it used to be so bad. I would like have breakdowns and not be able to leave my house. And now I'm on a podcast with Roseanne Barr, and not to say in like a career or whatever way, but just I'm able to do shit now, and sometimes really cool shit that I would have never been able to do because I was so sick with gender dysphoria. And
yeah, well, I had such body dysmorphia that I let my gut get like a goddamn suitcase, and I could never wear a swimsuit because it was folded in half belly.
Right. That's the other thing.
So I had to get that removed surgically.
I believe in that, though.
It did change my life when I got that gut skin removed. I mean, I felt renewed.
Brand new bitch. That's how I felt. I'm like, oh, my forehead got shaved. Brand new bitch.
Yeah, so it helped me, but that was after a lifetime of suffering with eating disorders, you know. Now, like, everybody's just going, hey, I got an eating disorder, and you better give me the thumbs up. It blows my mind.
It will, you know, being a fat fuck is an eating disorder as well.
That's what I'm saying.
Being fucking fat and proud of it and willing to continue that state of self-harm is definitely an eating disorder. And by the way, I just want to say, just because I find this is important, I don't want to position transition as a cure for gender dysphoria just because it worked for me. I think it's actually very rare cases that it works for someone. And I think most of the people who transition are being led astray. I think there was a time when there was a lot of gatekeeping of who could transition and a lot of really thorough assessment of who it would benefit and who it wouldn't. Now the standard is if you woke up tomorrow and want to transition, they would just do it despite the fact that you're bald and tall and full beard and you're a fucking man.
I would look hot though as a woman.
I mean,
but when you did it, did you still have to do the year of therapy to transition? Okay, so that was gone by the time you started. Because I remember, I'm so old. I remember when you used to have to. Unless that's not true.
No, there was a time where you had to actually like socially transition first, and you had to undergo a lot of like mental therapy. Assessments.
Yeah.
And now it's like you're 12 and you want to cut your tits off because you're a normal 12-year-old who's uncomfortable with the fact that you're growing tits. Okay, we'll make you a boy and we'll cut your tits off because we're going to get like, fucking paid for it.
Every girl is uncomfortable when they get boobs.
Right. I was uncomfortable when I got boobs. Do you think it would be helpful to go back? I mean, that's a good question for both of you. Because that used to be the standard. You had to complete assessment and therapy before you could begin to transition. Do you think... I'm going to ask you first, obviously. Do you think that would benefit society if we went back to that? Or you think that's archaic? And
100%. I mean, not only benefit, it would be saving lives because these detransitioners, you know, oftentimes are very young, you know, 18, 19, 17 years old because they had, you know, the sex change at 16. And then by year two.
Some of them, they're getting on them hormones at 11.
Yeah. And you can get double mastectomies in the U.S. as early as like 12. And I'm like... Do 12-year-olds even have breasts? I don't really know. Mm-mm. I mean, what are they cutting off? Like a, but it would be helpful, you know. Especially, I think the solution is bar minors from doing it because all the studies that have been done on gender dysphoric children is that when you leave them alone and you let them develop naturally, the numbers range anywhere between like 70% and 90% in these studies kind of together. Jeez. That they grow out of it.
Yeah, look at Angelina Jolie's child.
Yeah.
And that Megan Fox's and you know, again, these fucking white libs that need a fucking minority status in their life somehow. They probably feel even more guilt because they're rich, white, and straight. But you know, minors should be banned from it. There's simply no way you can, even if you know in your heart of hearts you're trans, even if I were to grant them that, there's no way you can know exactly what you want to do because, spoiler alert, I haven't gotten a full sex change because that shit's demented.
You're not going to do the full.
No, that shit is a lie. You can never have a real vagina.
Yeah, you can't ever have sex again.
Not what we know as sex, no. Right. You can maybe put something in it if you're lucky, but that's not sex necessarily. I mean, it's a lie. And, you know, if I was maybe a little more naive, I would have fallen for that lie, but I figured it out that that's a lie. So I'm like, okay, well, then I'll be happy with changing other things. So the idea that a child can know not only they're trans, but exactly what they want to do, which in some cases irreversible, such as getting a pussy, a pussy, quote unquote, is just fucking delusional.
Oh, I've just seen what the mutilation that they do to little children.
Especially the girls.
Pictures of it. Yeah. And it's so much like how they mutilate sex slaves. It's like exactly the same thing.
Or, you know, a lot like the shit the Nazis were doing.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
God almighty, it's all just the same. I always said, oh my God, they got a blueprint with Auschwitz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They brought it to America.
Well, it's crazy because...
They
like
brought it to South America first, but it's heading up here now.
When you talk about like the bad side of like, okay, a kid wants to transition and you say, no, you're not going to do... You have to wait till you're 18, and then if it's a boy and they get the Adam's apple, it's like, well, I feel bad for them because now they're 18, they develop as a man, and then they have to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, which I don't know the percentages, but I imagine that's a small percent. That's the whole reason for doing hormone blockers and surgery on kids. Is that, so transgender is already a small group, and then within that group is another small group, and it's like, okay, so we're going to base everything off this tiny group within a tiny group with a tiny group so that they don't feel bad. Right. My thing is...
So that's what my whole thing about the bonus hole...
Yeah.
They're going to make everything about 0.002% with the bonus hole and ignore all women.
Now I really want to find God hearing that word, that phrase.
Bonus
Have holes. You not heard it?
No, I've heard it. I just, you know, maybe not ever out loud in person. So just hearing it is just like, wow, you know, that's fucked up.
Well, it's like so pedo.
It's everything bad. It's dehumanization. It's medicalization. It's it's anti-women. It's anti-human. It's just fucked up.
No, it's like saying the butthole and the mouth is the primary holes. It's the pedo speak.
Yeah,
that's a clip.
Because that's what they do. You know, they don't go for the little tiny vagina.
Well, some pervs do, sadly.
But most pedos like the butt and the mouth.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's called opening the third portal in the devil worship cult.
What, the putting it in their butthole or mouth?
The butthole. That's what gives you the panda eyes that they worship that Lady Gaga wears.
That's a clip, too, right there, I think.
Honey, they're as dirty as you can dare to dream.
I always say that getting older is learning how many people do drugs and how many people are diddlers.
Yeah.
So way more people than you think doing coke, doing whatever the fuck. Everyone's on something. When you're a kid, you think everyone's raw dogging life. That's not the case. And you also learn how many people are fucking diddlers. Yeah. Like,
no shit.
Yeah.
When you're a kid, you find out though, don't you?
In a way, yes, but in a way, no, because here's a small story. So I used to hang out when I was like 15 or 16 with this like 30-year-old man. And when you're 15 or 16, you think that's fucking cool. You know, I was getting alcohol bought for me and my friends. I was getting to stay over at some guy's house and lie over where my mom was. And, you know, it's not until you look back as an adult and be like, that was a fucking pervert. And a couple years ago, I saw on Facebook, he got arrested for diddling like some 13-year-old kid. So he was, that's what that is. So you learn as you get older, because when you're a kid, you think it's just cool when adults pay you attention. That's why, that's part of why it's so fucked up.
That's why it's called grooming.
Yeah. Because it's not just physical. If it was physical, then it would look like an attack under a bridge or an attack on the street. What makes someone, like having the sickness is one thing. I can wrap my head around you have the sickness that makes you attracted to something in a fucked up way. But like to put you in the mindset of like, I'm going to act upon it. Is what's crazy to me. And I think it's like when you're so rich and powerful and you've been around a lot of these motherfuckers, it's like maybe you have less opportunities to really produce like genuine serotonin. You've done it all. You've seen it all. You have access to it all. You got to start doing deviant shit, you know?
Yeah, it has to, the thrill for a psychopath and a sociopath is the thrill has to always increase. They're never excited at the same thing for too long.
Right.
You know, like being in love with somebody.
Yeah, it's an escalation.
It has to escalate. And,
wow.
You know, like serial killers are like that. They start out as window peepers, you know.
Yeah.
And then the thrill has to get stronger and stronger. Start off on
animals.
Of risk, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, I mean, let's be real, it's PTSD. A lot of them were diddled and abused as kids. And it's like, then they got psychosexual pleasure out of it, which fucking cracks your mind open. Like, part of you gets off when you're molested, and they don't ever talk about that. And then that, you fucking go crazy. Now you got PTSD. Now you're fucking delusional.
Well, they do program kids and use their bodies against them. Yeah. They know how to get kids.
They do.
Absolutely. They they're the easiest to get.
Enslave them and use them against, you know, they're satanic. They know how to do everything.
It's fucking depressing. Well, this podcast took a dark turn. Everything.
Well, we went all to the dog.
We went to the motherfucking gutters.
We did.
We really did.
Well, we came up from there, so what the hell?
Because we're it.
Because we are it.
And you can't fucking kill us.
You can't kill us.
You could try.
You could try.
But you will fail.
But you will fail.
Hello.
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 Well, I'd like to very much thank my fantastically thinking and entertaining guest, Blair White. Thank you so much for being here. It was a blast.
This was so fun. I feel like whenever I hang out with you, I get like a little dose of like maternal energy that I never have because I'm estranged from my mom. So get a tiny bit of maternal vibes.
That's cool. That's sweet.
You got off lucky.
Let's go eat.
I'm hungry as shit.
Yeah.
Oh, you see.